Thank you, Glenn. This morning, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. I'm going to be reading on the NIV today in our study of God's Word. A couple weeks ago, we began a series on what is the church? What is Grace Church? And we talked about grace, the idea of grace. We spent a couple weeks on how grace is something, it's a gift that none of us deserve. It's something handed down from God to us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. We talk about how we as Grace Church, if we're to be Grace Church, need to be willing to show the kind of grace to others that God has shown to us. And it's not easy, is it? It's very difficult. We've been talking about the makeup of the church. We talked about how the church is like a 2,000-year-old Frankenstein, a bunch of dead parts put together, brought to life, right? That's what God did. We were all dead in our sins. God put us together. God made us one body. And yes, we still make mistakes. Sometimes we still have that monster within us, right? But yet we're still here with one body. And we have a purpose as one body. Grace Church has a purpose from God. And this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11, I think, describes what the purpose of Grace Church should be. We at Grace Church, we want to make mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And how we do that is sometimes a question. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Making mature followers of Jesus Christ. It sounds great. And yet sometimes we wonder, okay, how do we do that? Well, in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, we see the formula for doing that. And there's a lot of stuff in this passage. We're not going to get through it all today. I'm not even going to try. Originally, I was going to try. And then on Monday, I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I went home to my wife and said, this is just not going to work. I was going to put it all in one message, and there's no way. So we're going to look at this for a few weeks. We're going to be on this one. I want to read this passage real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11. Follow along with me. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you today, studying your word, I pray that you would give us wisdom. Help us to hear what you have to teach us today. May we be sensitive to your word. May we learn something in our own lives today that we can apply as we strive to become mature followers of Jesus. Help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We understand that as Christians, God has empowered us with certain gifts, right? He gives specific gifts to certain people. He says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that, how some people have certain gifts. That's biblical. But then there are certain things that he expects of everybody. If you're a Christian, this is what he expects of you. You can't say, well, I've not been gifted in that area, so I don't have to do that. Because God says, no, I've commanded you to do it. And if I command you to do it, I'm going to give you the power to do it, right? We cannot use the excuse, I don't want to, or I'm not gifted in that area, to bypass some of these things that we really don't feel like doing. And in this passage of 1 Peter chapter 4, we read some of these things that he commands. He commands us to be clear-minded and self-controlled so we can pray. He commands us to love each other deeply. He commands us to offer hospitality without grumbling. And then he says, use whatever gift has been given to you. There are three things in there we can see as a church that we are supposed to do. As individuals, we are supposed to do. We are supposed to pray. We are supposed to love. We are supposed to offer hospitality. And then the individual gifts kick in. We're going to talk about each of those here in the coming weeks. Today we're talking about prayer. And we understand that, all right, prayer is something we do, I suppose, if we have to. You know, I love Red Green. How many of you guys ever watch a Red Green show? I'm a man, but I can change if I have to, I guess, right? And so, how many times do we as Christians, I'm a Christian, so I can pray if I have to, I guess, right? And that's how we think about this sometimes. And yet God has said, no, you're a Christian, so pray because it's a great thing to do. You have a relationship with me, I want you to pray. Prayer has purpose. What is the point of prayer? The point of prayer is that we're able to communicate with the God who loves us, and He shares in that, and He wants to know what's going on in our lives. Not that He doesn't know, because He does, but He wants us to express that to Him. He wants us to express our need for Him as our Savior, as our God. That's what He wants. And are we willing to do that? Prayer is our connection to God. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take part in what prayer is? It's easy to ignore that. It's easy to think, oh man, Pastor Brad, I'm not really being gifted in that area. Or I've got too much going on in my life. I don't have time to do all that. If you don't have time to do all that, that's a pretty sad commentary on your life, on your priorities in your life. You guys have heard it said, I'm so busy today that I can't afford to miss my prayer time. That's the way we should think about it. As we at Grace Church think about making mature followers of Jesus Christ, we should understand that prayer should be the first step we take as we as a church work to that goal of making mature followers of Jesus Christ. Prayer must be the first step we consider. In your bulletins, you'll find an outline. And that outline is a few points for you to fill out if you want to. You can draw pictures if you're bored. I don't care. Just don't snore. But you'll see that central idea. Our goal should be to train ourselves to think of prayer as a first step in fulfilling our purpose of creating mature followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to go through this today. Just talking about the value of prayer. Why in the world we should do this? And we understand that God wants us to pray. As we think about prayer, we know He wants us to pray. And why is that? Well, Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer can keep us from sin. Prayer fits every circumstance in our life. In Ephesians 6, 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Always keep on praying. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Be anxious for nothing. Did you know that according to the WebMD, which now that's a great place, if you're sick, go to WebMD and they'll discover you have cancer and you're going to die in 2 days. But anyway, in WebMD.com, they say, they list being thankful as one of the top 10 ways of relieving stress. I wonder if it's possible that the creator of our body knew that when he said, be anxious for nothing, but what? With thanksgiving, present your prayers to God, right? Being prayerful will eliminate stress in your life. It can take care of us. Matthew 5:44 talks about love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That's a hard thing. And yet that's prayer. Prayer has value. God understands that. As we think about your own life, as you think about your own life, and you think about prayer in your life and the circumstances going around you, what's one thing that you could change in your life? What's one thing you wish was different? Finances, relationships, whatever it may be. What's one thing you wish was different in your life? And then ask yourself, have I prayed about that? Because if you haven't prayed about it, you haven't taken the first step to resolve it. When it comes to prayer, I think it's valuable for certain people. When it comes to prayer, I really don't have time. When it comes to prayer, that's for those who are older than I am, who have less time to do because I'm a doer. When it comes to prayer, I what? How do you fill in the blank? When it comes to prayer, I what? What do you think about prayer? How would you answer that question? When it comes to prayer, I fill in the blank. What is prayer to you? Hopefully when you leave today, you'll see prayer as being something, a priority to you as a Christian, something that all Christians should do, something that we at Grace Church should do. We should emphasize. We should prioritize in our own lives. Prayer is our connection to God. Why should we pray? When we pray, who exactly are we talking to? Now, if I was teaching kids, everybody would be shouting out right now. What are you talking to God? That's right. And who is God? Well, He's our Creator. Yes! Out of nothing, He created everything. And when I'm praying, I'm talking to that powerful person who can do whatever it is He wants to do. If I had a line to Warren Buffett and he said, dude, anytime you have something going on in your life and you need some help, just give me a call and I'll see if I can help you. And I knew that was real, would I call Warren Buffett? Probably once or twice a week. Right? And yet here's God who did way more than Warren Buffett can ever do. And what do? Sometimes we ignore that. Don't we? This is God, the creator of the universe, 120 billion galaxies out there, of which we are one. There are 400 billion stars in our universe that we're living in right now. And some of those galaxies, there's over 100 trillion. Are you kidding me? He created that in one day. And yet we sometimes ignore Him. This is God, the God of Moses, who parted the Red Sea when Moses raised his rod in the air. He stopped the sun in its place in Joshua, when Joshua was fighting the battle. He heals the lame. He makes the blind to see. Look at what He did for my sister this week. That's God. Are we tapping into this? Do we recognize that God can do these things? Are we asking Him really, sincerely, honestly, God, will You do these things for me? God, I'm asking You. If any of you lack wisdom, do what? James 1 verse 5. Ask, right? That's what we should do. We should ask. If any of us lack wisdom, we should ask. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God is the giver of good gifts. He wants to give good things to us. All we have to do is ask. Are we willing to ask? And you think, well, God doesn't care about the little things. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. You read about Elijah taking a little walk. And he finds a woodcutter who is a little grieved because what happened? He was borrowing a neighbor's axe. The head fell off in the river. What did Elijah do? Elijah prayed. God made it float. Isn't that amazing? Is that a little thing? Yes. The first iron ship. God caused it to happen. God has the power. He cares about the little things in our life. Are we willing to ask Him? Are we willing to communicate these things to God? Will we pray? Will we understand that prayer has to be and should be the first step in our Christian life? And whatever it is we do, and whatever we're trying to accomplish, prayer must be the first step. That's why we should pray. We should pray because God loves us, because He commands us to pray, and because He can fix it. Sometimes He chooses not to, but that's in His own grace, in His own wisdom, as He guides us and causes us to grow. When you think about our lives, we know that we grow in the hard times, don't we? Weightlifters, they grow when they work out really hard. If I go to you and I say, look, in a year, I want to be able to bench press 30 pounds. Man, that's saying something, people. You didn't have to laugh that loud. All right. And yet I never change anything. Will I ever be able to bench press 30 pounds? Probably not, right? If I say, I want to lose weight, get back down to my married weight, which was a long time ago, but I never change my eating habits and never exercise, will anything change? No. And in my Christian life, if I'm not growing, but I want to grow, and yet I never change anything, will I ever grow? Probably not. that's there through prayer? And are you willing to tap into the power that's there through prayer? Are we willing to change the things we're doing to become better than what we are? I'm growing. I'm just growing out, right? It's not healthy. Doctors will tell you that. And are we growing as Christians, but growing farther away from God? Because we're not willing to talk to Him. Prayer must have priority in your life. It must. And when we pray, what are we thinking when we pray? Sometimes it's so easy to go to God, but you've already got the answer in your mind, right? You ever done that? God, I've got this problem, but internally thinking, all right, I already know how to fix it. When we pray, are you really, truly trusting God for the answer, or do you already have a thing in your mind that you want to do, and so you press ahead and do it? Have we ever done those things? When you pray, be willing to listen to God. Why should we pray? Because it's God we're praying to, because He's the one with the answers. When we pray, we cannot rely upon ourselves. We should not rely upon ourselves. We must rely upon God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, Luke 11, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Are you willing to pray, trusting God to give you wisdom? Trusting God to give you power through the Holy Spirit in your life. Prayer has value. Prayer is effective. And there are secular studies that have been done over and over again talking about the effectiveness of prayer. Listen to some of these things that's out there. USA Today and ABC News teamed up with Stanford University in 2005. They polled those in the hospital. Of those who said they used prayer to control pain, 90% of them said it worked well, 51% said it worked very well. The only thing was pray. They said prayer is what made a difference for us. Ask Jim Capaldo today what prayer can do in a medical field for his daughter Kinsey. That's God being tapped. The Creator. That's what prayer can do. Psychology Today listed 5 scientifically supported benefits of prayer. Prayer improves self-control. Self-control is like a muscle. If it gets fatigued, you can only do so many push-ups before your muscles give out. Recent research indicates that prayer can help you get more out of your self-control muscle, quote-unquote. Prayer helps you with self-control. Prayer makes you, and I love this word, nicer. Who wouldn't want to be nicer, right? Prayer makes you nicer. Researchers found that having people pray for those in need reduced the amount of aggression they expressed following an anger-inducing experience. In other words, prayer helps you not lose your control. Prayer makes you more forgiving. Researchers found that having people pray for a romantic partner or friend made them more willing to forgive those individuals. You know, for us at Grace Church, that should be a powerful one, because we are a family, aren't we? We're in relationship with one another, and we know we're going to step on toes, but if we, knowing that's going to happen, begin praying now for the people in our congregation, when that happens, we'll be more able to forgive them. It's amazing. When you start praying for somebody, it's amazing how your goodwill toward that person changes. Pray for one another. It will change your relationship with them. It will make you a more forgiving person. It will help you become more like Christ, a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want to be here at Grace Church? Mature followers of Jesus Christ? Prayer will help you in that. Prayer increases trust. Recent studies found that having people pray together with a close friend increased feelings of unity and trust. Now, isn't that the truth? Have you ever had somebody just take you aside and pray with you? And not in the quote-unquote appropriate settings that we think about in the world today. Just at church or in the pew. If you're walking down the sidewalk and you got something going on in your life and a friend stops you and you're talking, he says, well, let me just pray with you right here. I've had that happen, and it's amazing how that increases your trust in that person. You know that person cares for you in a way that you never anticipated, in a way you never felt before. That's what prayer can do. Are you willing to pray with people? Are you willing to be that person with them? You can help others become mature followers of Jesus Christ as you pray with them. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and say, Pastor Barry, I only pray in church. I only pray in privacy in my home. God says, you know, go into a closet and pray. Yeah, because he was talking about the ego, right? He also says, pray without ceasing. And so unless you live in a closet your whole life, right? You're going to pray. Are we willing to pray for people? Are we willing to? Prayer increases trust. It increases unity. And again, prayer offsets the negative health effects of stress. Researchers found that people who prayed for others were less vulnerable to the negative physical health effects associated with stress. People who prayed for others were less vulnerable to the negative physical health effects associated with stress. God knows what he's talking about when he commands us to pray. He knows why he wants us to do this. It's for a relationship with him spiritually. It's for our own health physically. Prayer has many benefits. You think, well, that's kind of a bad reason to pray, just for my health? Or is it? I don't know why it's a bad reason to pray. We do lots of things for our health. We eat bacon for our health, right? Well, one way or another, bacon brings us closer to Jesus, right? Prayer makes a difference. That's why we should pray. Prayer makes a difference in us spiritually. It also makes a difference in us physically. And for one reason or another, whatever it takes to get you started down that path of prayer, I'm okay with. Prayer is important. We have the purpose of prayer. We understand why we should do this. We have the person of our prayer. It has value. It's speaking to God. That's why we do these things. So who should pray? Who is it that should do this? Well, all of us should. If we're part of the body of Christ, if we're believers, we should all pray, right? Yes, every single one of us. Prayer, and this is what I want you to get today. Prayer is not a spiritual gift to only specific people. Prayer is a gift to everyone who loves God. To everyone who's placed their faith in Jesus, prayer is their gift. And you know what? Sometimes God even answers the prayers of those who don't believe. He can do that. God uses our prayers. Everybody should pray. It's not just something for the senior saints who are sitting at home. It's not just something for the little kids to do. Prayer is something that all of us should do. The congregation, you guys should pray. The church leaders, you should pray. Me as a pastor, I should pray. If I can't do this in my own life, how am I going to help lead you down this path? And it's hard. Do I pray as much as I should? I confess to you, I do not. You think, well, how much is too much? Well, that's between you and God. But if right now the Spirit is saying to you that you can pray more than you are, well, then there's your answer. I don't want to tell you how much or how much to pray, how much not to pray. That's up to God to do. But you ask him. Say, God, am I praying to you enough? And you listen and you see what his answer is. Because there are probably very few people out there that are praying too much. Is that even possible? Everybody should pray. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. Don't let the things of this world distract you. Don't get caught up in what else is going on in your life. Be clear-minded. Be self-controlled. Make prayer a priority to you. Understand this is something you must do for your own spiritual growth. That's what prayer is. And if you want to grow spiritually, you must pray. You must pray. We have lots of things in congregation we can pray for. We have milestones we can celebrate. Last Sunday we had 62 people in church. Isn't that amazing for us at Grace Church? But for so long we were between that 40 and 50, and now we're over 60. Praise God for that! Are we praising Him? Are we praying to Him? Those of you, we had an anniversary this week. Thank you, Paul and Vicky. Congratulations. How many years? 22 years. That's a milestone. Praise God for that. Right? I wonder who prays more, Paul or Vicky. Dear God. Please don't let her kill me today. These are milestones we should celebrate. In today's culture, 22 years is an anomaly. Praise God. These are things we as a congregation can rejoice in, can pray about. And say, God, we have marriages coming up that are struggling. We have marriages older than that that are struggling. God, help us in our relationship. Are you praying for your spouse? And I don't just mean, dear God, help her see my point of view because my point of view is right. We do that. I mean, hypothetically, right? I've read that in a book somewhere. Nobody here does that. But it's possible, isn't it? Are we praying for each other? Are you as a husband praying for your wife? Are you as a wife praying for your husband? Are you as parents praying for your kids? Are you as grandparents praying for your grandchildren? Are you as a congregation, are you praying for your church leaders, for your pastor? I need prayer. It's true. We all need it. Are we praying for these people? We're praying for the government of the United States that we don't necessarily understand. Yet we know God's in control. But are we praying? Everybody should be praying. We have that responsibility. It's not something to pass off to somebody else. But it's our responsibility. Are you willing to pray? And you say, yeah, Pastor Barry, I'm willing to pray. I just don't know what to pray. Well, I'll just give you a whole bunch of examples of what to pray. Why should we pray? Because we're Christians. God commands it. Who should pray? Every single one of us. And what should we pray? There are lots of things to pray for. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It's a great answer to this question. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. If you don't know what to pray for, then you ask God, God, what should I pray for? And He will tell you. He will. He promises that. The Spirit Himself will intercede for us. There are so many things we can pray for. So many things we as Christians can pray for. We can pray for each other as a church and build our unity. Pray for each other as a church and build that forgiveness muscle within us that we all need to use. We can pray for our spouses, for our kids, grandkids, our neighbors, our government leaders, the pastor, the deacons, the trustees, the Awana volunteers. This has been a crazy year in Awana. We've had a lot of kids. Awana volunteers need prayer. It's fun, but it's hard. We need prayer. Local Fellowship of Christian Athletes that meet here at the high school twice a month. Those guys need prayer. Teachers need prayer. The Spirit will guide you if you really want to know what to pray about. Say, God, what do I pray about? And He will give you a list longer than you can get through in 24 hours. If you're really sincere about that. Pray for the shut-ins. Pray for the widows who are lonely. Pray for Janice right now who misses her husband, Junior, as he's in rehab. Pray for Junior. There are things we can pray about. And if nothing else, go ask somebody. Right? Step across the aisle. Say, hey, my prayer time this week. What can I pray with you? What can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? Write it down so that they know you're sincere. And then pray right then with them. That's what you can do with prayer. Prayer must be the first step we take in making mature followers of Jesus Christ. So what? What's this mean to me? That's a lot of truth you said today, I suppose, Pastor Bear, but now what? As you think in your own life, and I've already touched on this, If our goal at Grace Church is to make mature followers of Jesus Christ, and yet we as individuals are unwilling to become more mature, we're never going to make that goal. We never are. At Grace Church, we want to become mature followers of Jesus Christ. We want to help others become mature followers of Jesus Christ as well. We have to take the first step. If you typically spend 5 minutes in prayer throughout the week, I challenge you, step that up a little bit. If that's something that the Holy Spirit is showing you today, that you can pray more, step that up a little bit. If you don't even spend 5 minutes a day in prayer, try doing that. Or once a week, can you do that? Try to find a time, at least one time this week, where you can pray beyond what you normally would do. Pray for some of these things. And sometimes you get down on your knees and say, God, I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what to pray for. But God, guide my words today. Guide my heart today. And He will do that. With thanksgiving. Praise God for the things that He's doing in your life. And there are so many of them. Praise God for those things. Praise God for the milestones He's helped you see. Praise God for the work He's doing right now in St. Paul, for the work He's doing at Grace Church. Praise God for those things. That's what prayer can do. And it's for all of us, not just some of us. It's for every single one of us. And if you as an individual want to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ, you as an individual must pray. And if we have a church full of healthy individuals, then we will be a healthy church. Right? That's the first step. Will you grow? Today, will you make the decision that, God, I want to grow in my relationship with You so that I can help others grow in their relationship with You? Will you choose to do that? Let's pray. God, I praise You so much for being a good God. God, You hear us and You answer us, and that's mind-blowing that the Creator of this world listens to me. Thanks, God. Thank You. This week, may we just be blown away by the ability we have to talk to You. May we choose to do that this week in a way that maybe we've never done before. And God, I pray that through that, You'd reveal Your Spirit to us, so that we can experience firsthand the power that we tap into through prayer. Thanks, God, for loving us, for bringing us together here today. In Jesus' name, amen.